This is File 51. Today's date is June 1st, 2017. This is Jean McMillan. I am interviewing Judy Moore. She's going to talk about Habitat for Humanity, both the tag sales and the store, and anything else she wants to add. But first, we'll start with the genealogical information. Okay. What is your name?
Do you want the whole thing from birth?
Sure.
Or whatever? Well, I was born Judith Ann Thorman, and in 1982, I married Tom Moore, so now I am Judith Ann Moore. I dropped my maiden name and picked up his last name.
And was the Ann with an E or no?
No E.
No E.
The old fashioned, I don't know, I guess maybe the more newfangled way.
And your birth date?
5/7/47.
And your birthplace?
Brooklyn, New York, Prospect Heights Hospital.
Which hospital?
Prospect Heights.
What I thought.
Yeah. My parents were from Brooklyn. And even though they were living in Jersey, my mother's doctor was still from Brooklyn.
Not bad. Your parents' names?
My mother was Edna Catherine, K-A-T-H-R-I-N-E, Ruppel, R-U-P-P-E-L, and she married my dad, Henry Martin Edward Thorman, on June 8th, 1935. She too dropped her maiden name and picked up my dad's last name as hers.
And it's P-H-O-R-M-A-N-N.
T-H.
T-H.
Thorman. Mm-hmm. German.
All right.
Very much so.
And do you have siblings?
No. I'm an only spoiled brat.
Special. We're special.
Yes, we are.
How did you come to the area?
My dad worked at Chase Manhattan Bank in New York City for 40 years. And back in 1958, he and one of his co-workers were talking at lunch about what they were going to do on summer vacation. And before that, my parents had rented cabins at Gilbert Lake in Oneonta, New York, and then up at Lowell Lake in Vermont. And I can't tell you the town. I can't remember. It's southern Vermont. And they really didn't, my parents hadn't really decided yet. And Ken Rudolph, friend of my dad's, was saying, gee, my in-laws have a place in Connecticut they're talking about renting. And it's in a place called Pine Grove, and I think you'd really like it. So why don't you talk to Edna, my mother, and let me know. So they talked it over and decided they would rent Ken's in-law's place in Pine Grove. It was closer than Vermont. It was closer than Oneonta from Jersey, where I grew up. And they rented it for 2 weeks in July of 58, and we bought our cottage over there, Pine Grove being in Falls Village, in October of 58. And we were summer people, the dreaded summer people, for 11 years. And when I graduated from college, we moved here. And I was hired as a Spanish teacher at Housatonic Valley Regional High School.
And you had been there for?
I was there for 40 years. 18 as a Spanish teacher and 22 as a guidance counselor. And I still sub. I retired 8 years ago. And I still sub for the Spanish teachers because when I was in the classroom, there wasn't anybody that could do it other than babysit the class.
And that's no fun.
No, it's a long day.
It makes a very long day.
And that's why I don't sub for other things. So I told the ladies, because it happened to be an all-female department, that when I retired, I would be happy to come in and sub for them, because I could teach their lesson plans. They weren't going to lose a day. So I, and they're not out a lot, which is fine. Fine by me.
Yeah, but it's nice to be able to continue.
Yeah, and I always, you know, check with them, which is good. It keeps me in it. And I enjoy doing it. In fact, I'm going back next Friday till the end of school to sub for the Spanish teacher who broke her leg the day before spring vacation.
Oh, the poor thing.
Oh. Yeah, so I went in. They didn't realize I was around. They thought I was on vacation. So they hired another woman to do it. And I had to go in 3 days for her because she had a commitment. And she has a commitment starting the 9th of June. So I'm going in to finish out the year for So it's
wonderful.
It's good. It'll be, you know, review, exams. And
yeah. Yeah, that's nice to get paid. Well, Foster substituted until he was 85.
I'll see how far it goes.
Yeah, but you know, he loved it.
Yeah.
He was physically able to. He was active.
Yeah.
And he did mostly elementary.
schools.
Yeah, which is
which he loved. Which he loved.
Kids are different than they were when I was teaching. But yeah. I mean, the other thing is I'm still involved with the school, with the musicals.
Yes.
I do the props for the musicals, so I'm in and out of there all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And more so, obviously, from January to March when we're doing the plays.
Yeah.
But so I still have a connection.
And that's
my
good.
Second home.
That's good.
For a long time.
That's good.
Place I'm very fond of, and people I'm very fond of. So it's all good.
Good. How did you get involved with Habitat for Humanity? And I want the whole story.
All right. Well, back 25, 26 years ago, Judy Gaffney, who lives in town
mm-hmm.
and goes to St. Mary's Church, I believe it was she who had the idea to raise money for Habitat by having a tag sale. And she goes to St. Mary's here in town, and they had a tag sale in the basement of St. Mary's Church.
Mm-hmm.
And Kathy Mira, who was on the board at the time, knew I was a tag sale junkie, and she approached me to see if I would help. So I said, yeah, sure, that would be fun. I really hadn't done much by way of running a tag sale
mm-hmm.
or shopping.
Mm-hmm.
But I said, yeah, that would be great. So I helped out with the tag sale that year. I was very impressed because we made $2,500 at that tag sale. And I'd never had a tag sale that made that much before. So I thought that was pretty good. I think the $500 of it was a matching grant to match our first $500, but from an anonymous donor, though I have my suspicions who that was. And so we did that, and then the same thing the next year. And then Judy decided her daughters were growing, and she wanted to be able to spend time with them during the summer,
mm-hmm.
more time with them. So she stepped back. And the other person who was one of the main people was John Pogue, who also goes to St. Mary's. And so, and Kathy was involved. So
yep.
it became John, his wife Barbara, Kathy Mira, and I, who picked up and ran the tag sale.
Mm-hmm.
We were at St. Mary's for four more years until they redid their...
They redid the sanctuary.
They redid the sanctuary, and we couldn't be there. So, fortunately, and I don't remember how this came about, the Bitterman Center in Canaan, which is the CCD building for St. Joseph's Church,
mm-hmm.
became available to us. So we moved to Canaan and had
yeah.
our first of six tag sales there, and I thought, this is wonderful. We have so much more space. We're inside. The one drawback to St. Mary's was that all the furniture was out in the barn or the garage,
ooh.
And I never saw it till the day of the tag sale. And I'm pulling it out, and people are breathing down my neck saying, well, how much is this, and how much is that?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, give me a minute. I haven't seen it yet. I need to think about this. So with the Bitterman Center, the first year, we had everything inside. So we were able to take care of it. Weather was not an issue.
Mm-hmm.
Although we were very fortunate. I don't think we ever had rain at St. Mary's.
Oh, good.
I don't think we ever did. And so we were at Bitterman for 6 years. But by the time we left there, we had all of Bitterman plus four tents.
Oh, and my word.
It inevitably rained. And
yeah.
some things got ruined. And one of our volunteers was involved in Kent private school. And she said, gee, did you ever think about using the Kent school hockey rink for the tag sale? And my immediate reaction was, no, that's a great idea, but then it was, Kent is far away,
yeah.
and you're not part of our affiliate. You belong to New Milford. So one of the women who worked with Barbara Pogue, who always honchoed the linen section, was Barbara Del Pret, whose husband, Rick, was the athletic director at Hotchkiss.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, I know they have hockey rinks. And they're a whole lot closer. So I mentioned it to Barbara Del Pret. And eventually, well, that was in August of, well, whatever year that was, 12 years after we started, I figured it was a dead issue. But the next thing I know, in October, John Pogue calls me up and says, we're going over to Hotchkiss to check out the skating rink for the tag sale. I said, oh, great, this is good. So we went and checked out the skating rink. And the only thing that really scared me about it was how steep the stairs were, because I worried about people falling,
mm-hmm.
going up and down them. And then right next to it was the rest of the athletic center, or the athletic complex, which they now call the MAC, Forest E. Mars Athletic Center. And there, side by side, are three basketball courts.
Ooh.
And I said, oh. And they said, if you'd rather have this. And I said, oh. The door was right on the level. The parking was amazing. The only drawback is that the kind of floor that's in there is a rolled floor. It's not wood. It's not hardwood. That has a rubberized backing, I believe, to prevent shin splints for the kids because it's on concrete.
Mm-hmm.
And the things we had to do, which are not that big a deal, is we use about 100 tables, and we have to put little pieces of wood under the legs of the tables because even the plastic tables, empty, will start to create an indentation. It'll eventually pop out, but once you start putting stuff on top of it, it's even worse. So we had to do that, and with any furniture, we have to put these squares of wood. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm not a slow learner. It's easy. And you can't drag anything for fear of tearing the floor. But that was fine. And we were there for 14 years. This year, unfortunately, they're tearing out their parking lot. And I believe I heard redoing the pool. So we're not going to have access to it. So we're very fortunate. Salisbury Boys School is taking us in for the year, and we're going to have the tag sale this year in what they refer to as their bubble, which is their indoor tennis courts. From the outside, it looks like a triple geodesic dome next to the hockey rink. So I have to get over there and reconfigure in my mind where things are going to be laid out. But that's how I got involved in the tag sale and where it sits now. The first year, as I said, we netted $2,500. Last year, we netted $37,000.
Wow.
So that's kind of exciting for me to see the growth. It's been 26 years, but that's okay. That's okay.
How many volunteers do you have?
At the tag sale?
Uh-huh.
70, 80, something like that. Mostly women.
Yeah.
And it takes us a good 2 weeks to set up. I'm hoping, since it's the indoor tennis rink, courts this year, we'll have more time, a little bit more time. If we don't, we don't, but I know we can do it in 2 weeks. And the women come in at their leisure. I don't hold anybody to a certain schedule.
Yeah.
I'll take whatever time they can give me. If you can only give me an hour today and 2 hours tomorrow, I'll take it.
Yeah.
And they come in and we unpack hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of boxes of donations. We collect all year from very gracious donors, and we have stored on the side of the barn by the store. There's a long, narrow area, and the boxes reach from the floor up to the rafters in this area, and we just keep stacking them and building. And last year, Whalen Moving and Storage up in Norfolk very graciously gave us the use of two of their moving vans.
And what was the name of the company?
Whalen.
W-H-A-L-E-N.
A-L-E-N, I believe.
Yeah.
I think they are A-L-E-N. Mm-hmm. And some guys to help us pack and unpack. And Bob Whalen's our exec. Mr. Whalen, I can't remember his first name,
right.
I'm sorry. He packed the 30-foot one. And this is one of the moving vans where it has a section above the cab where you can also put stuff. I couldn't believe how many boxes he was able to get in that little area. I was blown away. He was the one, you know, everybody bringing the boxes and he'd stuff them in and what have you. And there was a 30-foot, that was the 30-foot, and I believe an 18-foot. Each one of those moving vans made two trips over to Hotchkiss, stuffed to the gills. They also had to bring over what we refer to as our props that we use, our tables, our shelving for display and stuff like that. And it was the first time I can remember in 5 years, as long as we've been in our current location at the store, that the area where we stored stuff for the tag sale was totally vacated. Everything went.
Wonderful.
And when I saw the stack of boxes, because when we get into Hotchkiss, the when we bring over the boxes, their summer program kids are still there, and they have the use of the gym. Mm-hmm. So we put the boxes along the perimeter of the gym and go up.
Yeah.
I was really scared when I saw how many boxes we had. I thought, oh my God, we're not going to be able to get all this done in 2 weeks. But those women, and I'm going to say women because it's primarily women who do the unpacking and the staging, we were finished with that probably 2 days before. I was, before the sale.
My word.
Amazed. I could not believe it.
Well, they've done it before. There's no wasted time. They know what they're doing.
Yes, they do.
They know about pricing. Makes it a lot easier.
Well, the first week we do all our unpacking and setting up. The second week we don't take any donations and we just do pricing. That's all we do. And some people are very comfortable with it and some aren't. And so the people that aren't do the easy things, like glassware and stuff like that. And I have women that take responsibility for certain areas. As I said, Barbara does the linens.
Linens, yeah.
And that's her thing. And she has her own little cadre of volunteers that have worked with her for years.
Sure.
And they come in, and she does an amazing job. She measures everything. She labels it as to the if it's a tablecloth, the size of it. If it's sheets, are they full? Are they twin?
Oh, but
are
that makes clean? Such a difference.
And it that section looks absolutely amazing. I have two girls and a mom that do our children's section, the toys and things, and they are incredible. We changed their location last year, and it worked out really well. Of course, this year we'll be in a different place altogether, but they do an amazing job. One of them works in the kitchen at Hotchkiss. And I have another small group of women from Pine Grove, who have taken over the garden center, which has become a very popular area. And they do that.
Oh, my.
And this is our high-end garden. Not the vases that come from the florist, but some garden architecture and what have you. And they've taken it over. The gal who runs that for me lives in Louisville. She's a summer person. And Vicki Williams and... There have been three different women ever since we started that area who have run it, and they all have kind of the same aesthetic, which is really nice.
Oh, yeah.
So it kind of flows, and that has become a very popular section for our volunteers as well as our buyers.
Oh,
it's
good.
Just amazing. And so she's responsible for that. Another woman, Lynn Nania, who's been with us for years, who was president of our affiliate for a while, she's my utility player. She always takes... what we jokingly refer to as menswear, which is the hardware section. She does sporting goods, and she'll do business or, you know, whatever needs to be done, but she was in a very bad car accident this year, so don't know if we're going to have her or not, but she is amazing. She's hysterical. And the reason she won menswear is because they had been building their house. So she was the only woman, when she took it over, she was the only woman who really knew anything about the stuff in the hardware section.
Makes sense.
She won it. So she won it.
Good.
True Anderson from Canaan, East Canaan, is another, True, T-R-U-E, is another one of my stalwarts. She's amazing. She deals with a lot of the kitchen stuff, the pots and the pans and what have you. Another woman from Pine Plains does the dishes. So that's a whole section. Because what we do is we have like pods of tables. Mm-hmm. And a pod will be all of the sporting goods. And another pod will be all of the dishes. And another pod will be all of the tchotchkes. Mm-hmm. And so the guys that come in, if they don't care about anything but hardware...
They go to the hardware spot.
Exactly. It's not mixed up, so you don't have to paw
through.
That's
central. That's very well organized.
Yeah, then. Same thing. Small kitchen appliances, that's another area. Glasses are in another area. We always keep our furniture closest to the door because that's the heavy stuff.
The heavy stuff.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. And then there's my area, which is the Tiffany room, which is the more high-end stuff. And I figure after running this thing, I deserve to be able to sit.
Sure.
The night of the sale. And
Absolutely.
So it works out well. I mean, different people do different things. We have a large group of people there on Friday night who are wandering around with Habitat shirts that are working. Mm-hmm. I have wonderful cashiers and wrappers, and they have a system. We do give out numbers the Friday night and Saturday. Doesn't really make a difference because everybody gets in.
Yep.
It's not like the first 10 or anything else. But and what's to say that you're going to want to see the same thing I'm going to want to see? So I need to get there before you.
Yeah.
But, I mean, people have started lining up. Saturday night, Friday night, excuse me, we are open from 6 until 8. People have started lining up at 3 in the afternoon. So they get the first numbers.
Good Lord. Well, everybody's different.
Yeah, and that's fine.
Yeah.
I mean, we've been doing this, like I said, 26 years, I guess, now.
Yeah, I think you got it down to a science.
Yeah, every year I have an epiphany about something. Mm-hmm. Like, we used to just unpack the boxes, and people pack things in very strange ways. And you don't have like things necessarily in a box.
Yep.
You'll have a jumble. And we spend a lot of time wandering around. Hotchkiss has always been very good about loaning us these wonderful heavy-duty plastic carts. And, you know, you're unpacking stuff, and you're wandering around, and you're everywhere. You're all over the place. Plus, you've got all the garbage, the newspaper and stuff that you unpack. So one year, the big epiphany was, we are going to set up tables down by the doors and do triage and unpack stuff and put all the glassware in a particular area on a table or the dishes or the pots and pans or the tchotchkes and then take all of those things to the place. I wish I had a pedometer to use to see exactly how much mileage I put on running around.
Yeah.
But like I said, every year we have an epiphany. Last year it was moving the children's stuff down to a different area and the smaller furniture up, which one of my volunteers has been after me to do for years. It was really good. So it worked out. And it's all good.
When did the store come into being?
December of 2005.
And tell me about that process.
Linda Nia, who I mentioned earlier, mm-hmm. my utility player, her husband, Tony, was like the chairman of the board at Gear. Mm-hmm. And we were always looking for, and still are, free storage for the stuff that we collect, whether it's to sell during the year or at the tag sale. And they have a little gray barn on their building, on their property, down front on Route 7. And I think Lynn had talked to Tony, and they thought that maybe it would be okay if we wanted to use it for storage. So Lynn and I went over. We were setting up for the tag sale in 2005. Went over and looked at it, and there's this big picture window. And I thought, storage.
No.
Store. John Pogue had always talked about us opening a store. I think he meant more like a restore, which we're not. But I said to Lynn, gee, do you think Tony would let us make this a store instead of a storage so we could sell year-round? I don't know, I'll ask him. So I talked to Tony, and I said I'd be willing to go to the board to ask for it. He said, no, I'll handle it.
Board of what?
The board of gear.
Okay.
Board of directors of gear, I'm sorry. And so he did, and they said, sure. And we took it over. We started using it, I think it was like the 1st of October. And I was there every weekend because I was still teaching at the time. Mm-hmm. Cleaning it out, it was full of stuff.
Yeah.
They were using it for like storage of detritus. And I had to get rid of the stuff, and I borrowed a friend's truck, and there was stuff up in the second floor, which is you had to get to by a stepladder. It was old canceled checks from Gear.
Ooh.
Some of the patient's personal effects, like someone who had died and they didn't have.
Ooh.
And it was up and down this ladder until somebody said to me, why don't you just open the window and throw it into the back of the truck? And
smart.
I thought, this is good. So I did that. So I cleaned out a lot of the stuff. I left some things that were obviously theirs there. And we painted walls. I painted walls. At the time, there was there was a toilet, but the water wasn't turned on. So we got the water turned on so I didn't have to keep running up to McDonald's to use the facilities. And we had a sink. We put the sink in. So we had a little half bath. And like I said, I worked every weekend from the beginning of October until through Thanksgiving. And we opened our doors on the first weekend in December.
Oh.
With stuff that was left from the Tiffany room at the tag sale. We get rid of the stuff we don't sell except for the Tiffany room stuff, which is the better stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that was what we stocked the store with when we opened.
Oh.
And we were there for 5.5 years until the space that we are currently in became available further up Route 7 opposite Decker Beebe. And I had seen this space from the outside. I was more interested in the space next door to it and had been trying to find out information about it, and the next thing I knew, it had been rented. And the landlord, our landlord, happened to be there, and he said, well, what about this space? And I thought it was a house.
Ah.
Well, it wasn't. It was, I don't know what it was originally, but that was in the summer, early fall, maybe, and next thing I know, John Pogue is calling me saying, we need to look at a space for the store. And it was this two-story building, which had been used by Villa's Auction House. I'm not sure how he used it.
Uh-huh.
But the only two rooms, there's basically two rooms downstairs and two rooms upstairs. I thought it was a whole bunch of little rooms. Well, it's a 20 by 20 foot room in the front, and then a big open space. It had been used as a warehouse, which was perfect for our needs, and the same thing upstairs. And it had become available to us. So we said, it was like when we first saw Bitterman Center and moved the tag sale. It was the same kind. Oh, wow. So we moved in there on July, beginning of July. Oh, what year? 2000, well, 6 years ago. 11, that's what I was going to say. July of 2011. The back of it wasn't in such great shape because we were in the process of setting up for the tag sale, so that kind of had to wait. But the front room was the same size as the old store, so it really didn't matter initially. We just moved everything over to the new space, and we opened in July, in this space, July of 2011. There's another building in the back, which we lovingly refer to as the barn. I believe it was the next year we took that over. It is just a big old barn. Crane had been in there before us. We had been using what we call the overhang on the outside for storage before that. And then we took over the barn. And then 3 years ago, this past Mother's Day, we took over the building that I first was looking at, which we refer to as the Annex. And that's our better furniture, our more high-end stuff, our art, a lot of lamps, and some really, really nice furniture because I am very fortunate to have wonderful donors in the area who give us wonderful things. Some things were fed by the people who run estate sales, things that haven't sold, with the approval of their clients. And some people are downsizing or leaving the area, and they bring me some absolutely amazing stuff. It's funny because I'm still getting, after 11 and a half years, I'm still getting new customers who have never been there. And oh, well, I'll be back. You have amazing stuff. And we joke about it because the store is called This and That from Habitat, which is the name my husband came up with, because that's what we are. This, a little bit of this and a whole lot of that. And, you know, we have glassware, dishes, tchotchkes, furniture, lamps, windows, doors, kitchen sinks, bathroom sinks, sporting goods, LPs, we don't take things like clothes.
No.
I leave that to somebody else. And for the most part, books. Unless they're really nice coffee table books. But
well, there's another places in book sales.
I was going to say, the libraries do this. And
the bottom of the library
is full. Yes, they don't need us to be selling those things. And it's amazing how many people, I guess they're like me, they don't want to throw away books.
And no. It's really hard.
It is. And so they want it to go someplace. But as you said, the libraries all have book sales. And, and down
Noble has book sales. The library has book sales.
The Fall Festival, they sell books.
Yep.
So there are other places for the books to go. And the clothes,
No.
They didn't go enough. We didn't have a lot. We were very selective. But they don't go enough to make it worthwhile. So I said,
and again, there's other places for that.
Bargain Barn and other places.
Yeah.
And so we don't do those. We don't do entertainment centers anymore because nobody wants them because their big televisions don't fit.
Yeah.
mattresses because of the inherent problems that you might have with mattresses. We don't do the big old televisions because, number one, they're heavy.
Yeah.
And number two, nobody wants them.
Yeah.
They're not high def and what have you. And I had one woman who called one time and she wanted to give me a big old television. And I always ask, is it a flat screen? Because unless it's a flat screen, I don't want... Well, it works just fine. And I wasn't thinking quickly enough. I should have said, then why are you getting rid of it if it works just fine? But I wasn't.
Yeah, yeah.
My head wasn't there yet. But like I said, there are things we don't take.
Mm-hmm.
But the list of what we don't take is far smaller than what we do take.
It sounds that way.
Yeah. So it's good. Last year, I said the tag sale netted $37,000.
Mm-hmm.
The store netted $104,300. And my goal, since I run the store and the tag sale, is within a 12-month period between the two to be able to underwrite the cost of a house. I'm not quite there, but I'm pretty darn close at this point.
You sure
point.
Are.
And every time I say that, our treasurer, Kathy Haynes Stupak, who was one of my cheerleaders way back in the 70s, just tells me to be quiet because I'm working faster than the builders.
But for her.
But it turned out really better than I thought because I was hoping to clear 100 at the store and 40 at the tag sale, but with the reverse numbers, I was like 1,300 ahead of what I was hoping for. So
perfect.
It's all good.
What are the months and the hours?
Of the store?
Of the store.
Well, we just went back to our summer hours from mid-May to mid-October. We're open 7 days a week from 10 a.m. until 4 p.m. Mid-October to mid-May, we go back to our winter hours, which are Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays from noon until 4. Once the summer people go away and the leaf peepers, the weekday walk-in traffic dwindles.
Mm-hmm.
And I need a life.
Yes, you do.
Because when the store is open, I'm there, except for when we're setting up for the tag sale.
It absorbs. It's something that you're passionate about and absorbs.
Yeah, and I'd rather do that than swing a hammer.
Yeah.
So?
You know, well, everybody's got their gifts.
Yeah, and I'm better at that. I mean, I did do that when we were working over on Sand Road in Falls Village. But I enjoy this. It's fun. As I said, I have wonderful donors. I have wonderful customers.
And you really enjoy it.
I do. Or I wouldn't do it.
Yeah. Oh,
I'd have backed out a long time ago.
You can't do something like what you're doing unless you really enjoy it.
Yeah, and I never thought I would. The funniest part is, I don't know, when we were here, when we moved here, and I don't know how long it was into us living here, my mom used to go to tag sales, and I would never go. And she'd say, why not? And I said, because I don't want to paw through other people's things. I wouldn't even go to the dump, to the transfer station, to the swap shop. If she were still alive, she would be laughing at me.
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
sure she is.
Yeah.
I'm
yeah.
sure she is.
Yeah.
You didn't want to go to tag sales and look what you're doing now.
Right.
Which now, is kind of funny.
And I'm going to ask you to tell me the names, and then later I'm going to email you and ask you to spell the names for me.
Definitely.
Who are the ladies, and I'm assuming they're all ladies,
yep.
that run the store day by day?
Okay. This time of year,
mm-hmm.
I have Peg Magyar, just like it's Hungarian,
yep.
From Canaan, who's there Mondays. Tuesdays, I have a new volunteer. It's Lynn Klein. She was born and brought up in Canaan. She lives in Sharon now. She was a hunter. Wednesdays, I used to have a split between two people. I now have Margaret Runge from Millerton, and she alternates Wednesdays. She used to alternate with my lone gentleman, who unfortunately has taken a paying job, and so he's no longer with me. Thursdays, I have a returning volunteer. She's from Florida, but she lives at Lone Oak Camps Out
mm-hmm.
in the summer. Charlene Donato. Fridays, it's Shirley Lacasse from East Canaan. She was a Waldron. She grew up in Sharon. And Saturdays, it's me, but John is there. John Pogue is there on Saturdays. And then on Sundays in the summer, it's Mary Fordyce and me. In the winters, Peg goes back to Sundays and works Sundays, too. So there's three of us there. The weekends are the busiest, obviously.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Especially this past weekend when we had a 50% off sale.
And ooh.
I made a pretty nice deposit this weekend. In fact, it was probably half. Well, I say the weekend. The sale started on Thursday. It was probably half of the entire month.
Really?
On this weekend, yeah.
Wonderful.
It was amazing. So we've, you know, just like the tag sale, it started slow. I think the very first month, that December of 2005, I think I deposited $750 or some such thing. Today, I deposited over $8,500.
Oh, my word. Isn't that
now, some of it's sales tax the governor gets. But
that's still, it's wonderful.
Yeah, and this is the primary fundraiser for building houses here in the northwest corner, followed by the tag sale.
Mm-hmm.
Every other year we have a wine tasting. This is the year for the wine tasting. And then on the off years, we figure out something else. We've had birdhouse auctions. We used to have a thing called Artists Known and New. We did that in conjunction with the New Milford affiliate down in Kent, where we had local people paint. This is when I first got involved with Habitat, or do picture frames. We would supply them for them mm-hmm. to decorate, paint, whatever, or they could provide their own. The birdhouses were fun. One of the artists who resides in Cornwall did one, a plexiglass one, which was kind of
ooh.
Interesting. The next year, he did an anatomically correct male that was almost life-size.
For a birdhouse.
For a birdhouse. It was hysterical.
Okay.
You can imagine what the perch was. But there were some. One person made one out of a hubcap, which was very clever. The center of the hubcap was popped out, and that's where the birds got in and out. Another person made, and I can't remember who did this, I'm sorry, faces, heads, almost like a sculpture of a head. And one was Einstein, and one was Freud.
Oh, good.
And the Einstein one had a big mustache on it, and they were just white.
Mm-hmm.
But the person had written on the heads, like for Einstein, all different equations.
Oh, my word.
All over his head, all different directions. And for Freud, it was id and ego and different psychological or psychological terms and everything else. Well, the funniest part about them was the person who bought them. We had the store at that point, or the old store over by Gear. One day brought them back to me because they were leaving the country. I believe they were moving to England. And she couldn't take them with her, and she gave them back to me to sell again. And they were gone in about 2 weeks.
Oh, my gosh.
It was hysterical. So
who knew?
You never, exactly. But they were very cleverly done. Very cleverly done.
Oh.
And so we've had different things like that. Last year, we were celebrating our 25th anniversary as an affiliate. And rather than have a traditional fundraising kind of thing, we had a celebration at Elaine LaRoche's place, Lion Rock Farm, between Lakeville and Sharon. And we had a band and a fabulous dinner. And different people were honored. John Pogue was honored.
I have the pictures.
Okay, John Pogue was honored as one of the founding fathers of our affiliate.
You were there, too.
I was honored as the representational volunteer.
Mm-hmm.
And the Hewitts were honored as representing the different donors. Mm-hmm. They were involved, very involved early on.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a wonderful, wonderful evening. It was a beautiful evening, absolutely gorgeous. And everybody was so gracious and so kind, and it was just a very nice celebration. So that was very special, very meaningful for me, and I'm sure for John and the Hewitts as well.
Thank you so much for your information. I
really
appreciate it.
You're very welcome. Thank you for asking me. I appreciate it.